about 10:15 here, I call the House Tax Committee to order. We will get right into the bill here, and we'll officially call the meeting to order when we have a quorum. So we will wait for a quorum to officially call the meeting to order and take care of some committee business here. So when we have a quorum, I will be moving House File 1091. I will then be moving I believe it's the author's amendment. Okay. I'll be moving the author's amendment, and we'll go from there. So let's, Representative Hansen, welcome to the Tax Committee. Let's proceed with your bill as if it is amended and before us, which neither have happened. But we'll just pretend.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your impending generosity. I anticipate that it will probably pass the amendment. And thank you, members of the committee, for the opportunity. As you may remember, and some of you that have been here a while, I've moved or introduced or moved this bill or amendment for several years relating to the debate on Sunday sales. And last year, during that debate, I moved it again and had the bill introduced. It was heard in Chair Schumacher's committee and is in front of you now. And as the bill has moved, my intent here was to capture some of the increased revenue, tax revenue, from the anticipated Sunday sales and using those for recovery programs. And as this journey has occurred, I have learned more about alcohol taxes and recovery programs. And the reason we have a DE1 amendment is in working with nonpartisan staff and the agencies, learning on which would be more appropriate and how we could track the dollars. And I do have testifiers. I should note, Mr. Chair, and I think you know this, that you know, as a legislative branch, we are a separate and equal branch of government. The executive branch, this is not one of their initiatives, but they have provided technical support in terms of how these things would work. So what I am doing is capturing, because the agency, the Revenue Department, has had difficulty determining exactly how much increased tax revenue there has been from Sunday sales. And I think as the debate went on, there was question of whether the sales would actually be spread out over sales that were occurring on the other 6 days, maybe occurring now on Sunday. So looking at how do you actually measure this if there's an increase, I'm not looking at the excise tax. I'm looking at the liquor gross receipt tax, where there is an annualized increase, and I'm taking 5% of that increase to go towards recovery programs, and that 5% is split two ways, one into treatment programs and one into prevention programs. So 50% of the revenue that would come in. And Mr. Chair, wanting to make sure that you were able to have no consequence on the existing budget, I have this going into effect in the DE1 on July 1st, 2020. So that should help you, you know, where you could place this in any omnibus bill and it wouldn't have an impact except in the tails, which would be accounted for with future future forecasts, because the dollars that would come out that are currently from the liquor gross receipts tax that go into the general fund, that would be have to be accounted for. We would be dedicating those towards treatment and prevention programs. So I do have nonpartisan staff here to describe how the tax allocation was determined.
Okay, thank you. And with that, Representative Hansen, thank you for that. We will go to staff shortly here. But we do have a quorum, so I'll officially call the meeting of the House Tax Committee to order. Representative Schultz moves the minutes of Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. Any additions or corrections? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Schultz. I will move House File 1091. I will now move the H1091 DE1 amendment. Any discussion? This is an author's amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill before us as amended. And I think what we'll do is I think we will go to staff just for a little more methodology on how this was determined, how the numbers were determined. And also, I have two folks that would like to testify, I believe, on behalf of the bill, Sarah Erickson and John Reynolds. I can't wait to get John Reynolds up here. Oh, it's not John Reynolds?
Is that right?
Oh, John Reynolds. That'll be more fun. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay, so John Reynolds. Okay. So with that, is there anyone who wishes to testify with concerns on House File 1091 as amended? Would the department like to make comments?
Yes.
Oh. Duly noted. Okay, so with that, Representative Hansen, if it's okay, we'll go to nonpartisan staff for a little description of how this was determined, who would be doing that. Ms. Templin? So if you could come before the committee, Ms. Templin, and just for the committee to kind of see how you arrived at the numbers that you have.
And
please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. You have a revenue estimate for House File 1091 with the DE1 amendment. And what this amendment does, it is just a straight percentage dedication of the total revenues from liquor gross receipts tax. It is a straight 5% of the total revenues collected would be dedicated to the two sources identified in the bill. And that's it. That's
pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any questions for members from Ms. Templin? At this point? Okay, Representative Petersburg?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I still am concerned about how we determined, there's a really a clear delineation annually on the increase in sales tax due to Sunday liquor sales versus just a normal growth in sales as well. I mean, how do we exactly determine that? Because that seems to me, the estimate seems higher to me than I would have expected. So,
Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair, the amendment, the DE1, is just a straight dedication of the liquor gross receipts tax, 5%. It is separated from any association from an increase in revenue from Sunday sales. Now, there's no linkage to Sunday sales.
Representative Petersburg? Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, so that, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just did want to note that Representative Franke, sitting next to me as a co-author of the bill, Representative Loon, a number of folks who are on the committee. The rationale for taking the straight percentage rather than spending the administrative cost for either the liquor store operators or the administration calculating out each Sunday, we wanted to make it as simple as possible and looked at that 5% as an example.
Representative, before we go to Representative Schultz, Representative Franke, would you like to make any comments? Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just here in support of this bill for Representative Hansen. I think anything that we can do to put money into this system to help people to battle addiction and other such substance abuses and programs to help people become more productive citizens, I'm all for that. So I'm definitely here in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franke. Representative Schultz, to the author or staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to thank the authors for bringing this forward. My mother was an alcohol and drug abuse counselor most of her professional life, and I really saw the positive impact if timely you can get timely treatment and the success of individuals who are recovering. I just have a question. Do we know the increase right now from Sunday liquor sales?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative, we don't know. it's very, very difficult to determine. I think that's part of in talking with how could we, if you look at the original bill, it was saying make a determination and then capture that, and we don't know exactly how much is there.
Do we know what the, thank you, Mr. Chair, do we know that if there was an increase to date? In general?
Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schultz, in discussing this, the proposal, the 1E version of the bill, which was based on the increased Sunday sales and the revenue, the department did not have a methodology on how to measure that, and perhaps the department can elaborate more on this, but based on their initial analysis, they were indicating that right now there would be a zero increased revenue amount from Sunday sales based on their initial analysis.
Interesting.
Thank you. Representative Schultz. Okay, Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I like the direction of the bill, but I'm looking at the way that it's allocated between the two departments, and we talk about initially substance abuse and alcohol abuse, and then when we get further down in the bill, when we're talking about the Department of Health, we talk about alcohol abuse. And why the shift where we're talking about, I'm assuming that when we talk about substance abuse, we're talking about other chemical dependencies, drugs or whatever, and then we narrow it down to just alcohol for the second part of the allocation to the Department of Health. Is that for some reason intentional, or should we not be talking about both substance abuse and alcohol for the second allocation there?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Carlson. It's my understanding is this is the terminology that's used between the two agencies, that the substance abuse disorder prevention intervention, treatment, and recovery-oriented services is what's referred to as in these programs, and that the health department alcohol abuse prevention activities is the determination is not. I understand the point of your question. It's my understanding this is the, and I'm not on the health care committees, but it's my understanding that this is the terminology that is used in those programs in the various agencies.
Sure. One of the reasons I raised that question, as all of you know, I'm a former high school teacher, and often students who are having problems with substance abuse, it was other drugs that were creating the problem, as much at least as alcohol, and that's why I was curious about splitting it out when we talk about educational. But if that's the history of the departments, I guess that's the history. So maybe I see your colleague there was about to say something in that regard.
Representative Frankie,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I think that alcohol is a gateway drug, that it, usually speaking in high school and growing up, that's one of the first contacts you have with most substances. So maybe that's why the determination was put as alcohol, because back in the day when these things were set up, a lot of these other substances weren't necessarily equated to as, you know, situations. So,
Mr. Chairman, I like the direction of the bill. I just was curious about the allocation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. Vice Chair McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, do you know right now in the state how much money is spent on substance abuse and what programs that we already currently have, and what is that number?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I did ask that question and got a similar answer to the determination of how much revenue is coming in. We do have both agencies here who could provide some, because there's such a menu of programs at the state, so the aggregate cost of determining what's being spent in each agency, I would defer to the agencies to give some indication of what's spent there.
Vice Chair McDonald, and we do have the department will be up here in a little bit. But
they'll give that numbers, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I didn't say that.
Oh. I'll wait to hear from the department.
McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll wait to hear from the department.
We'll put you on the list for the department.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to Representative Hansen for bringing this forward. And I think it's very wise to go to a simple percentage as opposed to trying to track any growth for the very reasons that were brought up. But one thought I had on that that point was that we did not have the Sunday liquor sales go into effect until July 1st of last year, so you haven't even had a full year yet to be able to track anything. And typically we would want to give it a full fiscal year. So it would be interesting for the committee if we can possibly in the future get information once we get past July 1st of 2018 to see a full year, to see if there is any difference.
Thank you, Representative Wills. Representative Loeffler.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't know you were going to have the departments up here, so perhaps they can answer it. But I can just say that the Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund, which is how we fund treatment through the Health and Human Services system, deals with both substance abuse and alcohol, and oftentimes people are co-dependent. And so we do have a combined fund that people have to meet certain assessment criteria to be eligible for, but that's why it's a combined effort on the human services side. On the prevention side, both agencies have some role, but there is federal funding available, I know, through the human services side on the drug area. We just heard about that on an opioid hearing.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. Okay, let's go to some witnesses, some testimony here. I have Sarah Erickson, if you could please join us. And then just for folks in the audience, I have Sarah Erickson here, John Wright. Is there anyone else other than the department that is looking to testify? Okay, thank you. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Sarah Erickson. I represent CORI, which stands for the Coalition of Recovery Investments. It's a group of different providers and interest groups that focus on chemical dependency health here in the States. I'm here to support House File 1091. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, the economic costs associated with alcohol use in Minnesota is estimated at $5.06 billion a year, and that amounts to about $975 per person in the state of Minnesota. Excess alcohol consumption is the third leading preventable cause of death in the United States, and in Minnesota there was over 1,100 alcohol-attributed deaths in 2007. Anytime the legislature is interested in putting more resources towards fighting a substance abuse disorder, CORI is in support of that. We believe there's a clear nexus between using revenue raised from the alcohol tax to fund these initiatives and would support a portion of them being sent to DHS and the Department of Health to help with both prevention and treatment. I'd like to thank the committee for their time and would stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Erickson. Questions for members? Ms. Erickson? Thank you very much. Mr. John Reich. And Mr. Reich, we had up here that it was John Reynolds, and I couldn't wait to have him before the committee. So we'll inform him as to how lucky he is. So with that, please state your name and who represent for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Anytime I'm confused with John Reynolds, that's a plus, because it means I'd be 3 inches taller and better looking. So that's just fine with me. My name is John Reich. I'm with the firm Winthrop & Weinstein. We represent the Minnesota Association of Resources for Recovery and Chemical Health, or MARCH. We represent that MARCH is made up of 75 treatment providers and agencies and over 2,000 professionals in the addiction space across Minnesota. Thank you, Representative Hansen, for bringing the bill forward. We certainly support House File 1091. As treatment providers and professionals in the industry, we are on the front lines of the addiction issue every day, and it's only been exacerbated by the opioid crisis over the past several years. And like Ms. Erickson and CORI, we support anytime the legislature is interested in dedicating additional resources to chemical dependency treatment. We are certainly supportive of that. In the past 20 years, the MA rates for treatment provider services have gone up about 3%. And while we are incredibly grateful to the legislature for those increases, it has certainly not kept pace with the costs and the demands of running treatment facilities and treatment centers. Additionally, a number of studies have been done on the return on investment for treatment services, and the most conservative study shows a $7 return for every $1 invested in treatment services, and some even go as high as $12. And that's a savings on downstream costs to society and the state in terms of public safety issues and hospital visits and things like that. So we believe it is a good investment in for the state in order to do that. That concludes my testimony. Certainly, again, we support House File 1091, and we thank you for the time.
Welcome. Questions for Mr. Reich?
Or Reynolds.
Reynolds. Right. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Reich. As always, very good testimony. Okay, so with that, let's go to the department. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, my name is Paul Cummings, and I'm the Tax Policy Manager at the Minnesota Department of Revenue.
Welcome to the committee.
We have a strong South St. Paul bench here today. I am from South St. Paul, but I actually live in Representative Frankie's district. And if you're looking for a good bowl of chili, Park Cafe is a great place to go.
I thought you were from Grove City.
Well, originally, Mr. Chair.
Oh, you mean now.
But the commute from Grove City, Mr. Chair, to St. Paul is a little bit long, so I decided to try.
Not as bad as Ada. That's further.
That is very true.
Hear your testimony, sir.
Mr. Chair and members, today I am not testifying on the basis of what the money here would be used for. Our mission at the Department of Revenue is working together to fund Minnesota's future. So we collect a broad base of taxes from many sources in order to ensure that there is the money that is directed under statute to make appropriations that fund schools and people's health care, our roads and bridges, environmental programs, and some of the programs that we're talking about here today. But today I bring a concern about a general dedication of revenues. This is obviously it's an appropriation of revenues that we're talking about within the tax committee. So as we talk about what types of funds should go towards health care or sort of alcohol abuse, that should be appropriated within the context of other sort of programs that come. I know we have lots of bills that come before the committee that talks about really important needs. I know we've talked about affordable housing. We've talked about after-school programs. I think every year we have something about animal shelters. This is another important need within the state. But in terms of having that conversation, the tax code, the dedication of revenue is something that we would have general concerns about.
So you're here as a resource?
Just as a resource.
Yes, sir. Okay, with that, any questions for the department? Would anyone else like to testify?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, come forward, please.
Brian, you going first?
Oh, all sorts of folks. Okay. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is Mark Kindy. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Health. I head up.
Can you spell your last name?
Sure. K-I-N-D-E.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You bet. Kindy. And I'm the manager of the Injury and Violence Prevention Section in the Division of Health Promotion and Chronic Disease with the Minnesota Department of Health. So our mission is to make Minnesota the best state in which to live. And I'm here to just describe from the prevention perspective what could be done with these revenues. There are a number of programs that have been evaluated by within Minnesota from the Results First MMB-led initiative and also from the Centers for Disease Control, the Community Guide for Preventive Measures. And there are among the most effective programs would be the screening brief intervention and referral to treatment. This will be done in partnership with emergency departments and hospitals across Minnesota, in partnership with local public health. And so what happens basically with this kind of program is when folks are involved in an alcohol-related event, a fall or a motor vehicle crash, they're seen in the emergency department. Among the questions that are asked as physicians and emergency department staff members understand and probe for what's going on, they're trained to ask those discerning questions about the impact and the role of alcohol. In some cases, it leads to understanding addiction. In some cases, it's not addiction yet. It's folks who were binging. And the parenthesis here is that Minnesota is among the nation's leaders for binge drinking. We're making key inroads in our young people. High school and early college are not the leaders for binge drinking. In fact, it's our young adults. It's moving into the latter 20s and early 30s. And then that what we see is that cohort effect of folks who start losing control with the issue of alcohol. What starts as as pleasure or a great time on a weekend becomes something that becomes an animal that can't be controlled. And so the spring brief referral intervention referral for treatment in the emergency departments across Minnesota dovetails with the trauma system that the health department supports in partnership with local public health and with the trauma system. That would be a key way that these prevention funds would support. There are some promotion strategies that have worked. You've got to be careful because that can be a promotion events or advertising events that are not well planned and that are not specifically targeted can become a resource that takes a lot of money with not as much result. So those are some of the initial strategies. I'm happy to answer further questions. What we have done in our tracking of, and this relates to an earlier question, in terms of resources that Minnesota is investing right now in prevention, we do have one federal grant from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to try to understand the epidemiology of alcohol disease and injury. And so we have about $150,000 from that grant, and then another about $100,000 from another Centers for Disease Control project. So all told, about $250,000 a year right now going into trying to understand the impact of alcohol and see what we can do to start and mobilize prevention efforts. That dovetails with the testimony earlier about the fiscal impact of alcohol. Between 2000 and 2016, alcohol-related deaths have increased in Minnesota about 55%. So it's not something that has been getting better. It's something that has gotten worse over time. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks, members. Thanks so much, Representative.
So questions for Mr. Kindy? Mr. Kindy, so does the Department of Health support House File 1091 as amended?
I think I really defer to my leadership, to Dan Pollack. I think that we're just here to provide, to answer questions about what could be done for prevention.
You're here as a resource.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's send, and I apologize to Vice Chair McDonald because when the department was up here, I never went to you, so we will bring Mr. Cummings back up in a bit, or Vice Chair McDonald.
Very good.
Okay, to Mr. Kindy, Chair Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kindy, your testimony raised a question with me, so, our government continues to want to protect everybody from themselves, and your agency does a good job of it. But over Easter, it had been at least a month since I had a beer, and I had six. Was I binge drinking?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Mr. Chair, Representative, as a matter of fact, you were. Yes, depending on the amount of time. So if you had said number of six beers within 2 hours, then yes, you actually would meet the definition, because for an adult male our size, five beers meets the criteria for binging.
And Mr. Chair?
But they were ponies.
No, Mr. Chair, they were 12 ounces. And when I was younger, I used to be able to drink one, Mr. Kindy, but that's as much as I could drink, and it was probably in about 4 hours, so... I just want to know, what's the department going to do to me? Of course, I was in Wisconsin, so are you going to chase me down over there?
Well, Chair Drazkowski, Wisconsin, they call that normal.
They call that recreational behavior, Mr.
Yes.
Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Kindy. Okay. Okay, Representative Hertog. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Kindy? No, just saying, Mr. Kindy, I think maybe Vice Chair McDonald's question probably should go to you instead of the department. So if you could please ask Mr. Kindy the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kindy?
Sir?
I recognize that the state has numerous programs to deal with substance abuse of all kinds, alcoholism in particular, because that's what we're talking about. We have wet houses. There's lots of money spent in the state already, and as you said, there's a 55% increase. So I'm just curious, what monies has the state allocated on the front of the war on alcoholism,
Mr. Kindy, or the
prevention of?
Mr. Kindy?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I, probably my colleague Brian from Department of Human Services will speak best about the services and the programs for treatment and intervention. From the health department side, all that we have is the $250,000 a year to probe the epidemiology, the underlying causes, the involvement. Alcohol is related, directly causes deaths, and it's also indirectly contributing to a wide array of conditions, from a number of cancers to cirrhosis and liver failure, and as well as then the direct the motor vehicle crashes and falls and violence. 30, it varies a bit, between 40% and 50% of our deaths by suicide do have alcohol on board. Often alcohol intermixed with other substances. But I think from the program side, so from the health department's prevention side, we only have $250,000. My colleague can best describe from Department of Human Services the other array of program support.
It's Chair McDonald.
Yeah, very good, Mr. Chair. We'll bring him down.
Yeah. Any other questions for Mr. Kendi first? And this is a very extremely serious issue. So let's go next to the next gentleman. Thank you, Mr. Kendi.
Welcome, sir. Thank you.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Brian Zerbis. I'm the Deputy Director of the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division at the Department of Human Services.
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, committee members, for a little bit of background, our division within the Department of Human Services provides policy development and payment for fee-for-services for substance disorder treatment for the state of Minnesota. So to touch on the question that Representative McDonald asked regarding the how much the state is spending in the fee-for-service world, Representative Loeffler mentioned the Consolidated Chemical Dependency Treatment Fund. That's the fee-for-service funding mechanism that's forecasted that pays for treatment services in these programs throughout the state. That fund annually expends around $165 million. In addition to the fee-for-service funding, there's also grant funds that are administered by the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Division and at the Department of Human Services. Those grant funds are predominantly federal funds. Touching on the opioid epidemic, the state targeted response grants were federal dollars that came to the state. We also receive a substance abuse prevention treatment block grant from the federal government. So all told, all of our grants are about $32 million that we administer, which cover the continuum of prevention, early intervention, treatment, and recovery services.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zerbeth. Chair McDonald?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Zerbeth, is that then $32 million annually? Is that correct, or is that by?
Mr. Zerbeth?
Mr. Chair, Representative, it's annually. The funds year over year is not necessarily $32 million ongoing. The state target response opioid dollars, for example, were 2 years of funding for about $10 million. So that number can fluctuate depending on funds that are available. We also, the department also chases after competitive grants with SAMHSA, and again, those grant dollars are anywhere from 2 years to 5 years that we get funding for.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Mr. Chair, thank you. So, Representative Hansen, so under your bill then, that $5.4 million projected of sales starting in 2021 will be added to that 32. So the state should know, the taxpayers should know that this, of course, is a serious problem, and it costs the state taxpayers, could up to close to $40 million a year to deal with alcoholism. So that would be a fair statement?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative McDonald, yes. And I think what we're doing here with the way we allocate this, you heard from the health department, we're not spending as much, or we're grant-driven on prevention activities. So the treatment amounts that are there, we'd be putting some additional dollars into prevention activities in addition to the dollars that would add on to the treatment dollars.
Vice Chair McDonald.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay, questions for members for Mr. Zerbis? Okay, Representative Hansen, we'd like to wrap it up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Zerbis.
And to the agencies, and I want to thank them for providing the technical support. As I mentioned earlier, the executive branch, we're a separate and equal branch of government. I think, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, looking at the question of dedication to dollars, which is probably one in front of you, I think in the tax code, gas tax is dedicated to roads. There's a question that's in front of us about a constitutional amendment on dedicating auto parts to transportation. I think this committee in the past has, in my world, in the environment, I think there's county program A that goes out for aquatic invasive species for funding there. That's maybe one example. So I think there's plenty of precedent. With the long discussion that we had over the years on Sunday sales, this was a component that at least I brought up and others did throughout that debate of, you know, there is a cost to alcohol, and if we can capture some of that money and put it into both prevention and treatment programs, and by allocating that in the next fiscal year so that we have some time on preparing for that, I think it would be worthy for Minnesota to do this. I ask for your support. I know it's something a little different. I know it's you have a wide range of tax issues in front of you. I know there are always concerns about jurisdiction, but I think it would be a worthy project. And I would ask for your support on this. I don't know if Representative Franke has any closing comments. I would provide him that opportunity. We've tried to make the changes in here to make this work simply. I know when we debated this in the past on taking it, there was concerns that I heard from constituents of what's the cost to the store owners, how much administrative burden is it, all of those things. We've tried to make this as simple as possible to get the dollars to the programs that provide the help for Minnesotans, which will in turn help out all Minnesotans if we can do this.
Okay, before we go to Mr. Representative Franke to wrap it up, members, tomorrow, Thursday's meeting, 10:15, right here in this location, we'll have House File 4321, House File 3543. Representative Franke, would you like to wrap it up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say that with House File 1091 has my full support, and I hope it has yours too. Anytime we take and dedicate funds to an investment like recovery is going to pay us off tenfold. And as far as prevention, as my mother and grandmother always used to say, an ounce of prevention, and we know the rest. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Representative Franke. So with that, I'll renew my motion to House File 1091 as amended relator for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Hansen and Franke, and to all the testifiers and to the departments. Anything else for the good of the order? If not good government all the time, we are adjourned.